The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this May 9th, 2022. Right? It's May 9th?
Yes.
Correct.
I wasn't talking to you.
No.
There she goes. It's little Lisa. She's a little studio marm. She flutters about, but she does no harm.
So, good evening, everyone.
She's been waiting all week to say that. And then my producer tonight on the board, none other than the mighty Andrew.
Good evening, Pastor.
And tonight, too, way out yonder, we see that country parson, the pastor, Joe Larson.
A child of his kingdom, and forever I am. I'm ready to go to work, boss.
Hey, I think you got to up your volume because, boy, you're coming in really weak tonight.
Really weak. Okay, we'll try this.
How do we sound?
You sound loud and clear to me.
Yeah, you're really weak. Okay. Can you shout?
I can shout. How's that?
Okay, yeah, talk loud like I do.
I do.
Okay. All right. The title of our message is, do you remember the title of the message?
Mothers of the Bible, the good, the glad, the bad, the sad.
That's quite a title. Now, we're going to start over in Exodus chapter 1, and we're going to be taking a look at two ladies who were godly mothers. They were chaste, and they were clean. They were shamefaced. A lot of people don't. Today, you talk about this out there with people, and you ask, should we ask Andy if what that means, shamefaced? He thinks it means shave faces. No, it doesn't mean shave your face. It means shamefacedness means what? It means decent. The definition is a decent. A woman who's shamefaced is a decent woman. And then with sobriety. And do you know what sobriety means? It doesn't mean what a lot of people think it means. It means propriety. In other words, they're very proper, okay?
Proper, right. It doesn't mean staying away from alcohol. It means being very proper, minding your manners.
Yep. And so, anyhow, it won't help you out, Andy, to shave your face. You're still not going to be shamefaced, okay?
Yeah.
And so,
before we start, I've got a special prayer request tonight, if possible.
Last go for
week,
it.
We asked for prayers for Dominic St. John, who was having some troubles. Well, her troubles got worse. She's in the hospital today. She is going on the kidney machine tomorrow, and her kidney's failing, and she's being put on the kidney list for organ donors. And just all of a sudden, her whole body is, whatever's been wrong with her is shutting down. So if we could just increase our prayers for her, she's gone from bad to very worse.
The reason for that, Joe, is not enough people were praying with us. the folks out there listening. See, I got to tell you, when you have this, it's an opportunity. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. It's like an investment. When you go and you pray with us, because the time is going to come for sure. This will happen. There's no chance that it won't. It will happen. You're going to need prayer. And see, God keeps a really good record. I mean, he is an excellent record keeper. And he knows that those of you that are showing mercy, and God is true to his word, those that show it will get it. So, Joe, I'm asking all the folks out there to pray with us, and as I'll be silently praying along, but go ahead and lead us in a prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we lift Dominic up to you. Lord, I know her father and her mother, and they are wonderful Christian parents, and they assure me she is a born-again believer. She's been a good wife, and it just seems like lately everything is shutting down, going wrong in her body, and we would lift her up to you for a miraculous healing, Lord, that you would just heal her while the doctors still can't even figure out what's happening, that you would just do a mighty healing and that she would be able to witness and testify. But, Lord, we know we are always to ask if it be thy will, and it could possibly be that you have a reason that she's going through all of this and that they'll have to be on dialysis and other things. That, Lord, we just ask you to be with her husband and her parents and comfort them and be with her and the family as they're sitting with her tonight in the hospital and waiting for tomorrow. And we would just ask that you just bless them in every way possible, Father. And we just ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 Joe, would you go in Exodus chapter 1 and read me, starting with verse 15, all the way through 22?
Gotcha. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiprah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. For if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, save the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, why have ye done this thing? And have saved the men children alive. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive.
Oh, so here now, remember, when they cast the boy babies into the river, they were sacrificing them to their god of the Nile. And so here, when we take a look at this, first of all, starting out,
kind of a pretext, though, sacrificing them to God was also a pretext. If the Hebrews did not have, you know, men, children, there'd be no warriors or in the slaves to rise up, and the women they would just keep for use them as slaves.
Right, absolutely, and for slaves and also to sell human trafficking.
Right.
Now here, when we take a look at Shiphrah and Puah, first of all, do you know what their names meant in the Hebrew? Shiphrah and Puah?
Long ago and far away, but not tonight.
That's what it means, long ago and far away. No. No, the name Shiphrah means procreate. In the Hebrew, it's procreate. The name Puah means childbearing, okay? And, you know, yesterday in our church, we celebrated Mother's Day because that's what we have. We have mothers in our church. We don't have birthing people. We have mothers, okay? And we want nothing to do with those idiots. that use that terminology, the language of illusion, confusion. Now, here, they were employed by the government, Schiffer and Pua. Now, they were the chief two midwives. Do you know how many midwives there were, Joe?
No, I don't.
I got to tell you everything.
Yep.
There was 500 midwives, 500 midwives. And do you know what their jobs were?
500? Where in the Bible did you find that?
Oh, we do. I have other sources that I can't let you know about yet, okay? But we did. I did my research, and it goes back. I will give that to you off the air because it's a little complicated.
All right.
And so they had 500 midwives. They were the chief amongst the midwives. And here, do you know what their duties of the midwives was?
Well, I assume they would go and assist in childbirth is what a midwife does. That's their job. And
that's,
I guess as the chiefs of the midwives, their job was supervising all the other midwives.
Right. Now, here's the thing, though. It's not what people think here. Their chief job was to assist the Egyptian women. Their chief job was to assist the Egyptian women. They didn't have many hospitals back in those days for women when they got pregnant. They usually didn't go in the hospital to give birth. They did it at home. And so, but, you know, and the Egyptian women, a lot of people don't realize this too, they were known to have a harder time giving birth than the Hebrew women. And when they said that the Hebrew women are lively, they were kidding, okay? They didn't have as much trouble for the most part. So these midwives, their job was to first to go to the Egyptian women, and then when they could, to also assist the Hebrew women. And so here, Pharaoh says, listen, I want you to kill those male babies. And so they didn't do it. Why didn't they do it?
Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder, God said.
So they feared God more than Pharaoh, huh?
Right. Exactly.
Now, did they stick their neck out for going ahead and saving the male babies alive?
Oh, they sure did. They could have been severely punished, whipped, or just even killed.
And so what they were doing is when it was time for the Hebrew babies to be born, they waited until the baby was born. And now their job was to assist the mothers after the birth of the child to help take care of the child because usually they needed a couple days to get back on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to make sure the male child were hidden away someplace where they could go minister to him in private. And that's what they did. But no, old Pharaoh says, I want you to sacrifice those babies to the God of the Nile. Now, let me ask you, do you believe, I truly believe 110%, that we have those in the Democratic Party today would do the very same thing. They would be quick to throw the babies in the Nile and feed them to crocodiles. I believe they're as wicked gets.
In several states right now, in states like California, Colorado, and Maryland, they are trying to pass legislation that would allow abortion at any stage, and that even if a baby survives the abortion, it can be just set aside.
28 days after birth, you can stab it, you can put them in a microphage, you can kill them any way you want, 28 days after birth. That's what those wicked, wicked people want.
Set them aside and let them die.
Yep.
Without any, you know, support.
They're wicked as can be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, turn over to Exodus 2 and read verses 1 through 10.
And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water."
So let me ask you this. Do you think that Pharaoh's daughter, when they pulled the baby out, and obviously the blanket it was wrapped in was a Hebrew blanket, and she recognized that right away, and then all of a sudden Miriam shows up and says, "Hey, you know, I know a Hebrew woman that can nurse that baby." And do you think that maybe Pharaoh's daughter kind of knew that this was a setup?
It's very possible, but God works in mysterious ways, and she could have just been struck with the child and the child crying and just emotionally, "Oh, this child was floating in the river." I could also see where yes, if you know somebody, bring them. I could just see in the emotions. God works many different ways in different people. He knows the heart, right?
Yeah. Did you ever wonder what would happen if somebody put you in one of those little baskets and put you out in the reeds? Do you think?
They probably would have pushed it back out in the water.
All right. Okay. All right. Here's the thing. Okay. So all of a sudden she shows up and she tells Pharaoh's daughter, she was up on, she knew what was going on here.
Probably.
But she was a good woman. And when she looked at that baby, the Lord softened her heart. Good women love babies. Good women love babies. The wicked out there, they don't care. They want to kill them, okay? And so here we see Moses' mother. Do you know what her name was? It was Jochebed.
Jochebed, yes.
Jochebed. And
Jochebed.
Yep, Jochebed. Do you know what that name means?
Okay, here we go again.
It means Jochebed. No, actually, it means glory of the Lord, glory of the Jehovah, glory of Jehovah. Now, she married Amram, and when she married Amram, she was his wife, but she was also something else. Do you know what else it was?
His sister?
No. Turn over to Exodus 6 and read me verse 20.
And Amram took him, Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years.
So. Okay, so let me ask you this here. She was his aunt and his wife.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sister, aunt.
That might, family get-togethers, that could probably be a tad confusing, huh?
Nowadays it could be very bad.
Yeah, and so here now, do you think that was considered incest?
Not in those days, no.
Why not?
Well, that go forth and multiply it at some point.
It's because we hadn't been given the Levitical law yet at that point.
Right.
So,
because that was the law of Moses, and Moses,
right.
This is how he got there.
Yeah, so you still have a pure bloodline at this point here. And so they weren't under Levitical laws. Now, here. What about, what would you say about if we study the life of Jochebed and Amram? Do you think that Jochebed was a very famous woman and a very important woman?
Well, yes, as the mother of Moses, who became the giver of the law and one of the major characters in Scripture for us.
He was one of the greatest leaders next to the Lord himself, who's the right. greatest leaders in the entire Bible. And then, you know, he was the, you know, between him and Abraham, huh?
Right, and her faith and her, you know, taking a risk and everything she did was able to bring Moses the what God's plan. What
was she her. Had? She had another son named Aaron. And
it doesn't explain how she saved him, but apparently she saved him also.
Yep. Well, Aaron. Well, no, he was years older than Moses. This had not been a decree. He was talking about newborns. Okay.
Okay.
So Aaron was Israel's first high priest, and Joe, he was the founder of the Aaronic priesthood. And Miriam, his sister, she was a poet, a gifted poet, and also a musician. And if you read in Exodus chapter 15, the Song of Moses, that was Miriam that wrote the song.
Wrote the song, uh-huh.
And so, anyhow.
Well, something I wanted to add, I cannot get out of my mind. I saw on television and the internet some women that were protesting in front of churches, and they were wearing these things to make it look like they were pregnant, and they were pulling these dolls out, and they were beating these dolls, holding by the feet, slamming their head in the ground, yelling, "Kill the baby, kill the baby," and doing many other just abominable things with this doll in front of these people that were praying at church. And as I saw that, I just had to tell people tonight, this is not your loyal opposition. This is not just the opposing political party. These are the most evil, wicked people, Antichrist. These are the enemy of God, the enemy of mankind. And these people must be defeated politically. We must see that they are not the ones in charge of running this country, making the laws, because they do not believe in the laws, they don't abide by the laws, and they are willing to do everything to destroy life and ruin the family and society. And people have to start looking at this and going, this is our enemy, and we must deal with it.
Joe, God's Word, the Bible, has a lot to say, and it's very clear, and it doesn't stutter when it describes these women. Here.
But the pastors in many of the churches do stutter, will not describe them, are not pointing out the danger.
Here's what they won't say. Evil. They will not call these women unclean. They're afraid. You know, I mean, you know, there a lot of these preachers are a little feminine, okay? But you know, they won't preach this because they say, well, that's name calling.
Well,
but here's what the Bible says. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And so here, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. So those women that you were looking at, God says, listen, God says they're unclean. God says they're vile, okay? And so, but you're right, the preachers don't have the courage to preach that today, okay?
Right. These are killers. They are really killers. They're anti-Christ. They are anti-family. They are anti the Constitution and everything we hold sacred. They are truly the enemy, and people have to open their eyes and see it for what it is.
So the Apostle Paul says that these women are unclean, they're vile, and that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And so, And then he said that they were filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness, full of envy, murder.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what God's word, the Bible, has to say about those unclean women.
And God is quite clear, doesn't stutter, and he's very direct, right?
Right. Now, yesterday when I preached this message, I told the ladies in the church, you see, and that's what they are, they're ladies. They're clean. And I told them that I have no doubt in my mind that there's not one woman in here, not one, that would not be willing to lay her life down to save her own, to save her baby. And I truly believe that. They're good women, they're chaste women, they're decent women, they're clean women. Like so many that are listening to us out here tonight. I get letters from these ladies all the time. And boy, they agree with us more than you can imagine. And this is where this hussies from hell come along, because so many of the true ladies were referring to these other clean, these unclean women, like Aoch and that, as hussies. And so I went and looked that word up. When I was young, you heard that word usually from the women. I never heard the men say it, but usually from the women, okay. And that word is for women that are vile, not good women, okay. And that's what we have. But we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. And it's a clip. And listen to this clip. You want to listen to this clip. Be right back.
Okay, in his own words, I tell you what, Denver, can we play this? Can I play the Esper thing again? I've got some guests I got to get in here, Doug Mastriano and Stephanie Allott, one of the moms down in Texas. Okay, play the second one again. I want the second one. Let's play it.
Mark Esper and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, ran the Army for over a year before finding themselves in charge at the Pentagon. In order to deal with what he calls some of the crazy ideas coming from the White House, Esper and Milley came up with a system.
I come up with this idea. Actually, Mark Milley and I discuss it, what we call the four no's. The four things we had to prevent from happening between then and the election. And one was no strategic retreats, no unnecessary wars, no politicization of the military, and no misuse of the military. And so as we went through the next 5 to 6 months, that became the metric by which we would measure things.
Okay. Let me have it. Okay. We've already proven the case that Trump stopped the missile attack in Iran that would have started a major war in the Middle East. Donald Trump stopped that. Bolton and these guys were all hot to try. They were in the countdown. Trump said, no, stop, last second. He stopped the ridiculous bananas-like Woody Allen situation that was humiliating for us. And quite frankly, that's why Venezuela, Maduro's in charge. They shot their bolt and nothing happened. Remember, they tweet now, today's Liberation Day, and you had Bolton first, Pompeo second, Pence third. And it collapsed in 30 minutes. I took a look at it. I thought it was a parody at first. I was calling guys. I said, this is a joke, right? No, it's not a joke. So he stopped Venezuela, okay? No, look, Esper lays out the coup, and he lays out the guilt of he and Milley. And we're going to have a massive investigation of this, sir. I hope and I believe you'll go to prison because you belong in prison. Strategic retreats. Would that happen to be what I fought for in 17 that you guys lied about and spun away from? Was the getting out of Afghanistan that you lied to Trump about all of it, the money, all of it? And I can go back and prove it. I got the receipts. Okay? I got the receipts. Was a strategic retreat to finally get out of Afghanistan that had to wait another year to the Biden administration to funnel it? That's what you're going to stop? You are going to stop that? Were you elected by the American people to stop that, sir? Yes or no? No. The answer is no. You were not. Okay? You were not. This is a coup. We're going to have the four no's. Well, brother, you're going to have a four-no suppository, okay? This is outrageous. You guys are the institutionalists. All I hear all day long, they're institutionalists. All these firebrands on the outside, they want to burn everything to the ground. They're institutionalists. He's an institutionalist, institutional of West Point, our sacred military academy, the sacred plains of West Point right there. He's an institutionalist for the Army, right? Older than the Republic. He's an institutionalist for the Pentagon, all of it. They're institutionalists. This is the problem with the institutions. This is the problem with the institution. Sir, you're destroying an institution. You don't have the authority. We're in the authority of the Secretary of Defense and the Joint Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who's an advisor. You're not a Joint Chiefs of Staff is not a combatant commander. Your advisor, your military advisor to, wait for it, the commander-in-chief. That guy would be Donald J. Trump. Did Milley, did you guys ever go forward to Trump and say, hey, we got concerns in these four areas. Let's walk through it. Let's be men, sit around the table, and get this up. Did you, sir? And do you have records of that? No, you do not. You did this under the dark of night. This is what coup plotters do. And you're going to sit there on national TV, and no offense, 60 Minutes, she's got to stop throwing the softballs, right? This is disgusting. Can't even ask a tough follow-on question. Can't ask a tough follow-on question. 60 Minutes is a disaster now. That's the coach pitch. One step removed from T-ball. And Esper, he's sitting there worming around with those little shifty eyes and those glasses, nervous. You're going to be a lot more nervous, brother. You're guilty of treason. You're guilty of treason in your own words. Show me anywhere you had authority to do this under the cloak of night. Show me anywhere that you don't directly report to the commander-in-chief of the United States. That guy would be Donald J. Trump, who was duly elected on 3 November of 2020. Thank you very much. This is what happens if you don't do this, and I don't like calling out Pompeo or McCormick or Dave Urban. I know those guys well. On one level, they're very good guys, but no. Your hands are all over this. Your handprints are all over this. You're getting called out. You think you're going to use Esper as a weapon against Donald J. Trump in his reelection? You are sadly, sadly, sadly mistaken. Boris Epstein, I got to move on, Boris. Walk me through your closing thoughts on Esper, this entire situation. By the way, this is the first of many we're going to have on this. So, and we're going to invite the guilty. We're going to invite Pompeo and Dave Urban to defend themselves on this show about Esper. I don't need Esper because he's a coup plotter with Milley. We don't have coup plotters on here. January 6th committee, why don't we expand your thing and look at the coup that took place on Donald Trump before the election. Before the election. And show me any of my facts that are inaccurate, because they are accurate. Donald Trump, once again, always kept us out of the wars that the warmongers want. Boris Epstein.
First of all, Steve, I'm so glad that you all weekend and this morning were drinking the Warpath coffee, obviously, okay? That's great to see. Warpath.coffee, very important for everybody to be hitting it. If you want to have energy like Stephen is, you know, Steve and I do on a Monday morning, you've got to be hitting that Warpath.coffee, okay?
Coming in hot,
which I love. And by the way, to the posse, whenever you see me anywhere and I hear coming in hot, I know it's one of you. And I love to hear that. It makes my day every day. So.
All righty, we are back. And so here, what Bannon said, I believe he'll go to prison. Well, he would, but if we had a Justice Department, and if we had, but we don't, no. Because the Justice Department is just now, it's simply a branch of the Democratic Communist Party. It's filled with dirty cops, And we don't, the FBI, what can I tell you about the FBI? Did you notice they won't even investigate all of the food manufacturing plants that are being burnt down?
No, they can't see any connection, any problem there. 25 of these major food processing plants burned, but they don't see anything there to investigate.
Okay, so, yeah, Biden, FBI continues ignoring attack on food supplies. You don't suppose they've got something to do with all of that, do you? Well, here's one from the Epic Times, Joe. 80 suspicious actors and material witness under scrutiny by January 6th defense attorneys. Court filings suggest entrapment operation run against the Oath Keepers by a highly coordinated group, and they've named right now 20 federal agents that were the ones that were doing this. They were involved in this. Defense attorneys are seeking to identify and investigate 80 suspicious actors and material witnesses, some of whom allegedly ran an entrapment operation against the Oath Keepers. See, what those four did, what Bolton, Esper, Milley, Pence did, it was a coup. And what that is, Joe, all of those, it's treason.
They committed treason. That's what a coup is. It's treason.
And Trump's got a real knack and a talent for appointing people that are going to betray him, that are going to put it right between his shoulder blades. And you know, I can't believe some of the people he endorsed out there. See, there's a difference between being a Republican and being a conservative. You've got a lot of people who are elected as Republicans, but I know where I'm at, where I live, the Republicans did a clean sweep, but not the conservatives. The conservatives, okay, those were the ones that ran against Democrats running as Republicans, and it was, the corruption is just unbelievable out in the county where I'm at, but it was statewide. Statewide, Democrats were pulling out Republican ballots.
Well, the corruption is nationwide. This kind of thing has been going on nationwide. The basic problem with America today is corruption. People have been selling out America, the Constitution, its people, the laws, for what? Filthy, lucre, sake, and power. And this has been the downfall of America, that corruption.
And so here, until we get, until the swamp is drained, until the swamp is cleaned. And again, that was high treason, and boy, do we have. One of the things that's happening, you're seeing they're in a panic. They're in a real panic about 2,000 Mules. By the way, this coming Sunday evening, we'll be showing that film, 2,000 Mules, at Doers of the Word Baptist Church.
You got a hold of it. Great.
This coming, well, we've got a bunch of them on order, a bunch of the DVDs on order. And we're not the only ones that's doing that. They're, people are so fed up. We're going to go around the fake news media. By the way, you know, Brett Baer had Esper on there. Anti-Trumper, viciously anti-Trumper, Brett Baer from Fox News, not fair and balanced. He's a far-lefter and pretending to be conservative. And he had Esper on there, and he was prodding, he was getting them to say what, and then he pulled Baer down. Baer is another one of those traitors, okay?
Yep. Are you going to be able to send me a copy of that 2,000 Mules?
I can.
All places I can show that around here.
Well, you have 2,000 Mules where you live out there.
Yeah, but it's nothing that you, right. They have those shows and polling contests.
All right, I'm gonna send you the mules with Lisa. I'm gonna send her out there with it. Okay. We'll have her hand deliver it. Get your walking shoes on, Lisa. All righty.
But when you're talking about this corruption, people have seen, if you've watched any news, we had a bombing at a group that's pro-life group there in Wisconsin, Family Action. We've seen they're going to churches and protesting and rebelling, and they're out in front of all the conservative justices' homes. And I was looking it up. There are two major laws that we have, a Department of supposedly justice, but you and I call it the Department of Injustice, Unjustice, whatever.
Judas, Department of Judas.
Part of Judas. There's a federal law, Title 18, S1507, and it is a law that prohibits trying to influence our court or the court's decisions, and the punishment is a year in prison for protesting near the Supreme Courthouse or residences or any buildings that they are being in use for court purposes. So here you have a federal law that will put people that are trying to influence or scare or intimidate judges in jail for a year, and it's being ignored. There's also a federal law, 18 U.S.C. 247. This law is against intimidating churchgoers at Sunday services, protecting anything that intimidating or disruption of religious services, in other words, the intimidation of churchgoers at worship, and it has up to 1 year in prison for a penalty. So here we have two federal laws, and our FBI, federal marshals, the Department of Judas, nobody is out there arresting any of these protesters at the churches, at the judges' homes. And they are doing some pretty nasty threats, and some of the things they're saying, the language is extremely vile, filthy, and they are making threats. And yet, not a single thing is being done. And, of course, the entire Biden administration said, well, they have a right to peacefully protest. Remember when we watched them burn down buildings and police stations and car lots, and the reporter, well, these are mostly peaceful protesters, you know, in the background. All you can see is everything's on fire. So we have a major problem in this country, folks. We have got to change horses. We have got to defeat these communists that are trying to conduct a revolution. They must be beaten, and we must stand up and call them what they are, communists. We must stand up and call them evil, rebuke them, and we must vote them out of office, and including those that, like you said, the rhinos that are Democrats trying to wear Republican or conservative clothing, and all they're there is to increase the power of the left by what? Well, false means.
You know, Joe, back when McTurner and I were having our battle with the War College, and I had called the Department of Justice, and I had talked, and I know I've said this many times, but it needs to be said again. And I talked to several lawyers, and I asked them, do you know of even one Christian, because they have like 1,700 lawyers there. Mm-hmm. I said, do you know of any one, of even one Christian, do you know of even one Christian? And they said, well, we'll ask around and see, and we'll let you know. So they got back to me and said, we weren't able to find even one here.
Not one.
Okay, so that tells you right there now, if there's anybody out there, you may not have to be a Christian, but in the Department of Justice, if you have any integrity, if even a little bit of integrity, decency and honor left, then you need to do what's right. You took an oath to the Constitution. If you can't follow God's word, the Bible, at least follow Constitution.
Yeah,
for you FBI agents out there, you FBI agents out there, I used to know a number of you who were good people. You were not ashamed. You could walk with your head up. You were not ashamed. Today, I hate to say it, but from the top down, is they've turned into whores. They've sold themselves. And, you know, I wish I could get the whole FBI department locked in a room someplace where I could preach them heaven, hell, heaven sweet and hell hot. I mean, I would preach you the word of God, and listen to me. Listen to me. If you're out there, if you're laughing right now, go ahead and get it out, because when you stand before Almighty God, and you will, you won't be laughing. So if you have any decency, if you have any integrity left at all, obey God and not those crooked whores that are running the FBI that have sold us out. They have sold us out. And there you go. Let me read this, Joe. 80 suspicious actors and material witnesses under scrutiny by January 6th defense attorneys. Court filings suggest entrapment operation ran against the Oath Keepers by highly coordinated defense attorneys are seeking to identify and investigate 80 suspicious actors, material witnesses, and some of whom allegedly ran an entrapment operation against the Oath Keepers on January 6, 2021, and committed crimes and included the removal of security fencing, breaching police lines, attacking officers, inciting crowds to storm into the Capitol. A motion PDF and supplement PDF filed after 11 p.m. on May 5th in federal court in Washington. Attorney Brad Guyer listed 80 people, some of whom he said could be government agents. Now, we know there was at least 20 of them.
Right. Homeland Security and FBI both.
Right. And these people are seen on the video operating in a coordinated fashion across the Capitol grounds on January 6th.
Well, we saw the Capitol Police right there on videotape. Come on in, waving people in. Come on. You can see them motioning. Come on. Open. Just don't do anything violent. Just, you know. So you had the Capitol Police inviting people in the door. You can hardly call that an insurrection when they're being invited in by the police.
Right. Note to Stacey Abrams, find a good lawyer. True the Vote announced that they are releasing addresses of all ballot trafficking stash houses. Stash houses, Stacy houses, okay? The virtual premiere of the movie 2,000 Mules was held. In fact, it was held last night in Vegas. And we're going to be showing that Sunday in Doors of the Word Baptist Church at 4:30.
4:30. Everybody out there listening, 4:30, Doors of the Word. I hope there's standing room only.
In the film, Dinesh D'Souza on the True of the Vote provides answers and evidence on the stolen 2020 election. The explosive documentary was released on Tuesday at select theaters across the nation. According to the evidence discussed in the movie, if you factor in just what the mule ballot traffickers, Trump won with 305 electoral votes. That does not even count all the other fraud occurring during the election, like the mysterious ballot drops at 3 a.m. in the morning or the questionable machines. You hear that, Brett Baer? There's your evidence, Brett Baer. On April, the Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk went on with Joe Hoft at 93.3 FM to discuss the movie. Kirk, who featured in the film, said, "This is about the evidence collected for the film. They saw that some of the mules would visit these drop boxes every single night and then go to Stacey Abrams' headquarters and then go back to the drop boxes. Stacey, if we only had a halfway decent, even halfway legitimate, election board there in your state, you'd be in jail right now. But there's not. And so here, Stacey, you know what? You can't hide from God. You're a wicked woman. You're a very wicked woman. Stacey Abrams, here's what God's Word in the Bible says. Repent or perish. You need to repent. You need to come clean. You need to get on your knees before Almighty God, ask for forgiveness, and then try to come clean. Leave that life of evil, wickedness, and sinfulness, and ungodliness." The movie discusses the Democratic link stash houses, but does not mention any names or locations. Last night, Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips announced they will be releasing all of the addresses of the ballot stash houses. That is great.
Yes,
Stacey Abrams may want to find a good lawyer. On Saturday night, political columnist Brian Gates posted this on the stash houses. Tonight, the virtual premiere of 2,000 Mules, Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips announced they will be releasing all the addresses of the stash houses run by the NGOs that were orchestrating a massive criminal racketeering operation in multiple states. So,
well, they're also going to release the info on all those NGOs and groups that participated that the news has been hiding. Well, just today or yesterday came out, Michigan police seized a voting machine there that said basically the police, there's an investigation in several counties now, and they said at least one third party gained access to tabulation machines and data drives in Richfield Township and Rose Common County, the Sheriff's Department said, and if it did, the equipment would be required to be replaced by taxpayer money. And anyway, the voting machines have been impounded for investigation and all kinds of allegations. We've been doing story after story after story. The states are, few states and a few people are doggedly trying to find the truth. And the longer time passes since the election, the more and more proof that there was corruption in so many areas, so many levels. And what's the song? The beat goes on. The corruption goes on, folks.
Well, here's the thing. The reason they released this and decided, and by the way, give credit to Salem Communications for being the ones that are marketing this.
Right, putting the film out.
Tech giants are censoring, blacklisting, and banning posts on the 2,000 Mules ballot trafficking document across the social media platforms. Not going to do them any good. We're going to get them out. We're going to keep putting them out so people know what the fake, what the absolutely antichrist fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, you know, what they are in collusion with the Communist Party in hiding. And so here the article says, it goes on to say, Let me see if I can get open the page. Here you go. The virtual premiere of the movie 2,000 Mules was held last night from Las Vegas. In the film, Dinesh D'Souza and Trudeau Vogt provide answers and evidence of the stolen 2020 election. We've been telling you this ever since. The explosive documentary was released on Tuesday in select theaters across the nation. That was packed. You couldn't get a ticket. Everywhere you called, they were already sold out. The movie 2,000 Mules proves, through geo-tracking and video confirmation, that Deathocrats used ballot trafficking to steal the 2020 election from President Donald Trump. The national conspiracy involved every battleground state.
But you and I have come up, we have talked about four major areas of corruption, and each one of them alone could have swung the election from, you know, Trump to Biden, and from the Zuckerbucks on down the list. So if you add all four of those major corruptions together, no wonder he was able to win by such a large margin, because, like I said, any one of them could have almost swung the election by itself. So we go back. I'm looking at a story. Nancy Pelosi is praising the protesters. They're using their, quote, righteous anger. See how they grab religious phrases? Their righteous anger to march, to mobilize as the Supreme, you know, against the Supreme Court. Pelosi was the person who could have had the National Guard at January 6th to prevent the, quote, insurrection. You know, the mob got out of
hand. Nancy Pelosi committed high treason.
Right.
And she was behind that insurrection.
Right. She was behind it. She could have, they said, hey, we recommend you have the guard. We're giving you the guard. She didn't want them, rejected it. And you're right. She's behind everything. And now she's out there, what? Oh, encouraging people to go out there and express their, quote, righteous anger. Righteous anger, baby.
And no matter how she lies, no matter what wickedness, no matter how bad it is, she'll have the support of the fake news media.
And, well, that was next in line, the fake media. You should hear MSNBC contributor Dean Obadala was going after Clarence Thomas. And Clarence Thomas, you know, had just said, hey, we're not going to be bullied. You know, we'll make our decision. And he's writing that Thomas wants to make all of us shut up and be subservient, and he's no effing way. We're just getting started. We're going to get violent. We're going to bully them harder, tweeted Bernie Sanders' campaign press secretary, Brianna Gray. Bully them harder. See, the left is doing everything they can to incite violence, anger, hate. This is all they have, folks. They cannot debate. They cannot sit and look at the facts. They have to use anger, hate, emotion. This is all they have for tools. Now, what does that tell you? When they have to resort to those to win elections to sway people, fear. Fear, hate, and anger. That's it. That's all they have, right, Pastor?
They're the enemy of freedom. They're in, you know, I got this article here. They want to burn down the churches. They burnt down a pro-life office, and I don't expect the FBI is going to even investigate it.
So anyhow, they haven't been there, according to the lady that runs the thing.
Clarence Thomas, in my opinion, is the only one of those justices that will stand his ground, that won't buckle and get in. We'll talk about that right after this. We're coming up to a hard break, folks. We got a clip that you want to listen to when we come out of this break, so don't miss it. We'll be back right after this with a lot more to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.